Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning. Did you realize that come this Wednesday, that we'll only have 3 months to Christmas? Oh, someone could have said, you could have gone all day long without saying that. Shall we stand together and we'll begin reading at verse 18 of Luke 7. This as a way of introduction to today's verses that we'll be using as our sermon text. But if you would, beginning at verse 18, and the disciples of John showed him of all these things, and John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, and lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your patience, for your mercy. Lord, we pray that we could be worthy of those even this day. And Lord, we pray that you would bless each one in this room. You know the spiritual needs. May the Spirit move. And may joy be found in heaven today over someone repenting. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Luke 7 starts with the healing of a servant physically. And it ends with the woman of ill repute healed spiritually. Luke 7, 1 through 5, we saw the soldier's faith. There was the servant's need. As you remember, he was ready to die. There was the soldier's petition. It was earnest, humble, and believing. And there was the Savior's response. It was prompt, encouraging, and complete. Then Luke 7, 6 through 11, we have the report of a funeral procession of a widow's only son. Now, keep that in mind. It's a widow's only son. There was the afflicted woman. There was a sorrowful past. Her husband had died. There was a bitter present. The son is now dead. And there's a hopeless future. Her source of income and comfort is gone. But there comes the almighty friend. See the expression of sympathy, for he had compassion on her. I hear the unusual words of comfort, weep not. Feel the tension as he stops those that carry the dead man's body. And in wonder, as he now that was dead sits. And then experience the happy reunion. See, in the presence of the Lord, there can be no death. And we find that this young man was brought back to life. In Luke chapter 7, verses 9 through to 23, we have the question of John the Baptist. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? The answer, go tell John what you have seen and witnessed. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. May I say this, we will always have poor. If you've been to a third world country, you'll find that there are poor and there are poorer. Now, we have people in our country that may be considered poor, but you go to a third world country, you see what poor is all about. We find here the testimony, as soon as the messengers are gone, None other than Jesus himself bears witness of the true character and divine mission of John. Let's begin reading at verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Yes, this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." What a testimony. Jesus is saying that John the Baptist was greater than Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and the other so-called minor prophets. He is greater than those. And yet many of them would not believe his testimony. The application that is given and talking of this generation, he says that they are the children only interested in having fun and finding fault with those that have convictions. And I think that sounds very familiar, because if you have convictions, people usually don't like you because you have a belief system. But today's lesson begins in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. Now, we're going to find in verse 40 that this man's name is Simon. But one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. I wonder what they had to eat. You know, one of my problems when I'm watching a television program and people sit down at a table to eat and they leave the table before they've eaten half what's on their plate, it angers me. Does that bother any of you? There are different opinions in here, yes. It bothers me. You say, well, Pastor Paul, I like good food. Forgive me. But we find that he's going to go and eat with him. Verse 36, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now, we're going to have three main characters here. Jesus, and he's always the main character. He is always the most important. He is there. It is Simon the Pharisee's house, and there is a sinner. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves sinners? See, if he didn't love sinners, if he looked at you and said, ooh, you ever see a kid pull a snot ball out of their nose? Do you ever go, ooh, especially when they put it in their mouth? Oh, yeah. You know, as sinners, we're lower than that snot. And yet the Lord still loves us. He cares for us. Notice verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city, which was what? A sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. May I say this? I don't think when they say a sinner, it means someone that jaywalks. I don't believe it's someone that's a shoplifter. I don't believe it's someone who's gossiping. I believe that this woman is probably someone who is immoral and maybe even a prostitute. Now, we're not told that, but we are told that she had many sins. You know, it's important that we clean up our lives. And the best way to clean up our lives is for the Lord to be doing the cleaning. There was an estate sale in our subdivision. Do you ever like going to an estate sale? They seem more uppity than garage sales. But do you like going to estate sales? How many of you like going to an estate sale? If you see a sign for an estate sale, you'll go out of your way to go there. Anybody? A couple of us? The rest of you just drive on by and say, I hope they sell things. So we went to this estate sale. It was right there in our subdivision. And we went inside, and immediately I realized that this person who had passed away, and I presume it was a woman because there was only women's clothes in the closet, not that I looked at them, Donna did. We immediately realized that her kids didn't want too much of what she had. And she had a house full of stuff. And we're wandering through it, and out in the garage, they had all kinds of stuff, and down in the basement, it was wall to wall full of stuff. Now, she wasn't a hoarder, but she had a lot of stuff. Three different women, I don't know why they came up to me, but three different women came up to me and said, you know, I'm going home. This is encouraging me to go home and clean out my house. I don't know what they were thinking that I was going to do. But you know, a lot of us have a lot of stuff that probably needs to be cleaned out of our spiritual life. Out of our spiritual life. See, we read this and we read that she was a sinner. How many sinners are there in this room this morning? Everyone in this room is a sinner. But do we have a tendency to categorize sin? See, we have this idea that if they're doing this, they're worse than me. But the fact of the matter is, God sees sin as what? Sin. Sin. Let's continue. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which was bidden, or had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman that is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Jesus is invited to Simon's house. He's a Pharisee. The Pharisees and Jesus were not on the same plane. The Pharisees hated Jesus. Now, some Pharisees came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. One is recorded there in John chapter 3, Nicodemus. We know that Paul came to know Christ as Savior and may have heard Jesus sometime as he was a Pharisee. And so we find that he is a Pharisee, and he has invited Jesus to dinner. What was the reason for the invitation? Was he hoping to change Christ's thoughts? Was he looking to catch Jesus in a trap? Was he pondering following Jesus? We find that Jesus is eating when someone that made the Pharisee uncomfortable comes. As I said, she was probably a woman of the streets. The character of the woman is again and again repeated. She was a sinner. Verse 37 says that she had many sins. The Pharisee also called her a sinner with the thought that she should not even be touched. She should be considered unclean. And so you see the difference. We've seen one that is self-righteous, and we see one that is a sinner, but which one is going to come to Jesus begging for mercy? We find the working of her faith. She comes to Jesus. Maybe she had heard the sneers of the Pharisees when they said that Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. But we find, I believe, that she repented. She stood at his feet weeping. You ever see someone repent in tears? Now, may I say this? Crying does not necessarily mean repentance. It could just be sorrow for wrongdoing. Folks, we've had people come to the altar and beg God to forgive them of sins, and within a day, they're committing the same sin again. They are sorrowful for the sin, but they have not repented. For to repent means to turn around 180 degrees and go back. It's not to turn 360 degrees, which many people do. We find here the tears of this woman. Jesus is there eating. Now, they did not eat at a table in chairs like we do today. They would sit on the floor, usually with their feet behind them, leaning on the person beside them, and they just kind of worked themselves all the way around. I think that must have been a very uncomfortable way to eat. I wonder if they made it so that everybody with the right hand could eat, or if they made it so everybody with the left hand could eat. Because you'd be kind of leaning on the person beside you. And may I say this, back then they didn't have Dial. They didn't have Mitchum. They ate a lot of garlic, a lot of onions. Do you think there'd be a lot of odor in the room? Yes. They didn't wash their clothes the way we wash our clothes. That's getting a little bit too close, folks. But I guarantee you, when that woman opened up that alabaster box of ointment, that became the odor. Now try to put it in your mind, there are all these people sitting there eating. And Jesus is there eating. And this woman comes in and she's crying. Do you think that she became the center of attention? Absolutely. She's the center of attention. Everybody's watching this woman crying. And she is now beginning to let her tears fall on the feet of Christ as she gets down and she begins to wash his feet and she's kissing his feet. And she anoints his feet. And Simon says this, if he is a prophet, he knows, or should have known, who this woman is. Let's begin reading at verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Folks, when Jesus speaks, we better listen. And he's opening himself up to the Lord, talking directly to him. Verse 41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Now, you see what it is there, folks. Two men owe money. One 500 pence and one 50. Now, which one would you rather have? The other day, I went into Kohl's and I went to pay our Kohl's bill. And the woman took it, and she looked at that, and she goes, oh, I wish this was my bill. It was $9. I guarantee you, if you owe little, that's nice, correct? But the one owed 50, which was a lot, and one owed 500, and that's an extreme amount. Notice. And when they had nothing to pay, now, it's time to pay, folks, and they have nothing to pay. He frankly forgave them both. Wouldn't that make you happy? wouldn't it be nice if Visa sent you a letter in the mail saying, we know you owe X number of dollars, but we forgive you, and you don't have to pay anything. What? Dream on, I hear that over there. Yes. You know, I've heard of people where they have made arrangements with their Visa company and there has been forgiven debt. But we find here that one owed 500 pence, another 50, and he frankly forgave them both. Jesus then says, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? One owes 50 pence, one owes 500 pence. Which one is going to love him the most? Now, Jesus is making an application here that when it comes to sin, that there are those who sin little and there are those who sin much, which will be the most thankful when they are forgiven of their sins. Simon answered, verse 43, and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Simon wasn't a fool. And when it came to money, I'm sure his ears perked up. Maybe he himself had a bank or was a loaning depository. We find that he understood exactly what was being said. And one owed 500 pence and one owed 50 pence. They're both forgiven of their debt. And the one that owed 500 would appreciate it the most. Verse 44. And he, that being Jesus, turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Now, wait a minute, Simon. You didn't even give me something to wash my feet. Now, you need to remember that it was there weren't the sidewalks and roads like we have today. They walked most everywhere. They wore what type of footwear? Sandals. Their feet would be sweaty and dirty, and it was quite common to have, if not a servant, wash someone's feet to offer water so that a person could wash their feet. And he says, you didn't do this. That tells you something too, doesn't it? That this woman is crying on the feet of Jesus that may be dirty, and she's using her hair to wipe his head. Or to wipe his feet. Verse 45, thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. She is humbling herself. Do you know this, that when you come to Christ, you must be willing to humble yourself? Do you know that's why some people will never come to Christ? Because they are unwilling to humble themselves. See, they believe that I'm good enough or I can take care of myself, when we need to realize that I'm nothing but a sinner and I need to humble myself. I need to ask for repentance. I need to ask the Lord to forgive me. Verse 46, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Can you smell the aroma there in the room? Christ is there. This woman is washing his feet with her tears. The ointment bottle is opened. The aroma, the fragrance goes throughout the room. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are what? Many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. You know, I believe there are two things we want to hear from the Lord. Two statements. Thy sins are forgiven, and well done, thou good and faithful servant. The second one can never happen until the first one is done. That he has forgiven us of our sins. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And remember, it is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. The just shall live by faith. We are saved by faith through the grace of God. How is your faith today? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Shall we stand together? May I say this, that the only way you can leave this building today in peace is if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I know many can walk out of this building and convince themselves that they are okay. But to have true peace only comes when we have truly been forgiven. When we have repented of our sins, asked the Lord to save us, and we have been forgiven. In just a moment, we'll sing the song, Jesus Paid It All. All to Him I owe. I picked this song on purpose because there is nothing we can do to earn our salvation. But Jesus paid the price. He went into the slave market of sin and paid the price to set us free. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the redemption that we have through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you saw our need and that you were willing to pay the price. We pray, Lord, that today, that as the Spirit moves, that people would repent. They would get their lives right with you and would be willing to serve you faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.